inside, all around you, within you. He is here, he is here. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, your rejoice, he is for you. May the favor, may the favor
be upon you.
Yeah. His name is above depression. His name is above loneliness. Oh, his name is above disease. His name is above cancer. His name is above every other name.
Sweet one. the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you today. Welcome to Ascend Church. I want to encourage you to come on to the front, fill up the seats from the front. I really would appreciate that. Come and fill the front seats so the folks that come in a little later, easy for them to find a seat. But stand with me because we're getting ready to give God some praise here today. And I want to read to you from Psalm 149. Psalm 149, it says, hallelujah, praise the Lord. It's time to sing to God a brand new song so that all His holy people will hear how wonderful He is. May Israel be enthused with joy because of Him, and may the sons of Zion pour out their joyful praises to their King. It says, break forth with dancing, make music, and sing God's praises with the rhythm of the drums, for He enjoys His faithful lovers. He adorns the humble with His beauty, and He gives them the victory. The Bible says that when you begin to give God praise, that God's going to give you victory. It goes on and it says, God's high and holy praises fill their mouths, for their shouted praises are their weapons of war. And these warring weapons will bring vengeance on every opposing force and every resistant power. Praise-filled warriors will enforce the judgment doom decreed against their enemies. This is the glorious honor that God gives to His lovers. What that is saying, that is telling us that praise is a weapon. Praise is what brings victory. When you praise God, He begins to fight your battles. Is there anybody here that wants God to go to battle for you and bring you victory in your life? Then give Him praise today. Stir yourself up and say, I've come to give God praise. I'm going to give God my best. I'm going to sing and shout to the Lord. Lord, we praise You today. We lift up the mighty name of Jesus. We thank You, Lord, that You give us the victory in all things. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, put your hands together. You are good. Sing with us today. He is good today.
Put your hands together.
Scream it out from every mountain top. Your goodness knows no bounds. Your goodness never stops. Your mercy follows me. Your kindness fills my life. Your love amazes me.
Come on, sing it out, guys, right here.
And I sing because You are good, and I dance because You are good, and I shout because You are good. You are good, good to me. Nothing and no one comes anywhere close to You. Earth and oceans deep only reflect the truth. And in my darkest night, You shine as bright as day. Your love amazes me.
Come on and sing. Here we go.
And I sing because You are good, and I dance because You are good, and I shout because You are good. You are good to me. And I sing because You are good, and I dance because You are good, and I shout because You are good. You are good to me. And with a cry of praise, my heart will proclaim
You guys sing along with me.
I don't need the smoke or mirrors. I know there's a God who's real.
Here we go.
I don't need the smoke or mirrors, 'cause I know there's a God who's real. I don't need the lights to fool me, 'cause I have seen the God who heals. I know when I ask, I'll receive it. You're not a God who withholds. I hear you say, just believe me. I need a Holy Ghost awakening my soul. I need a love that glows rather than my bones till the evidence shows. In my soul, I need a heart on fire that'll never grow dry wherever I go. I need a holy, holy ghost. I need a ghost. Come on. Holy, holy ghost. I need a ghost. Need another counterfeit comfort, 'cause nothing in this world remains. I need something stronger than lightning flowing inside of these veins. I need a Holy Ghost awakening in my soul. I need a heart that glows rather than my bones till the evidence shows. I need a Holy Ghost awakening in my soul. I need a heart on fire that'll never grow. I can't even explain it. It's like conversing with heavenly language. And every time I get a taste, I know I just want more. I just want more. You're the kingdom that's been glowing inside me. It's like a lion's roar wants to revive me. And every time I get a taste, I know I just want more. I need a Holy Ghost
Amen. Yeah, I need a Holy Ghost. Put your hearts and your voices on the next song and sing out with me.
Together, the earth will shake and tremble before Him. There is no other name beside the name of Jesus. There is no other name like the name of Jesus. His name is high and lifted up. Every knee will bow and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. There's no other name by which we can be saved but the name of Jesus. We lift up the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. There's power in the name of Jesus, isn't there? Amen.
Hallelujah. You know what I love even about this graphic? When you get the glimpse of where Jesus is right now and what he has done and the fact that it's done and it's finished and it's over, that he's done everything he needs to do for our triumph and our victory. And so this is a time in the service where we pray for people's needs, and there is power in prayer because the name of Jesus carries power, right? And welcome to those that are watching online. We're going to pray for you as well. There's no distance in prayer. Isabel Floyd came forward last week and she said, Pastor Jill, pray for me. I need to sell my house and I need to be out by December. And we prayed and we agreed, and she called me on, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, so excited, and she said, I got an excellent offer this morning and they want the place by December. Let me tell you, it's no small thing. It's no small thing. And you can bring anything that it is that you need to the Lord. Don't worry about it. Let's put our faith to it. Amen. So if there's anyone here that needs prayer this morning, come forward. We've got a prayer team that are filled with faith. We're going to pray with you. I'm going to just stretch my hands out towards this camera and pray. Father God, we just release your healing power, your anointing through these airwaves to where people are in their homes, those that are watching. Father, we command pain to go. We command chains to break off of their lives in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for your anointing to go into, if it's into a hospital room or if it's into a living room or a kitchen, just goes into that home and just does exactly what needs to be done right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your power. And we're going to sing one more worship song. We want you to worship with us. If you come forward for prayer, just come on forward for prayer, those that need it. And the rest of us, just focus your eyes on him, because as you do, your heart opens up. You step into his presence and you're able to receive the word in a far greater way. Amen.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place today. Spirit of the living God, you are welcome in this place. Have your way. I pray that you would touch every life, touch every heart in Jesus' name. Come on, we're going to sing it out. Holy Spirit.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. Sing it with me, guys. Tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Come on, sing it with me. Glory. glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Of the Lord as you begin to worship like that. You know what? We don't, emotions are not what drives our faith. We believe the Word of God with all it's the final authority. We believe the Word of God. We walk by the Word of God. However, when you begin to worship God, there is an awareness that comes to your senses. It's His manifest presence. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it accompanies the faith and the worship of His people. Amen. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. We welcome you in this place. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, welcome to Ascend Church this morning. Welcome to those watching online. Greet somebody, and you may be seated. Thanks. God. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. We welcome everybody that's present today. It's so good to see you. Welcome those online viewers from around the world. We have people watching us, South Africa, Philippines, Switzerland, all over, people every week. So welcome to you. Welcome to Ascend members, those that are still watching from home. I want to tell you that we miss you. We can't wait to see you again. And we want to welcome our first-time guests today. We love having visitors in our church, don't we? Anybody agree with me? We like having visitors in our church. And so if you are here for the first time today, we don't want to embarrass you. We just like to acknowledge you. We'd like to give you a gift pack right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we can welcome you? God bless you. Welcome, welcome, welcome to everyone. So good to have you here. Just wave it again until an usher sees you and hands you. Ray, over here too, my brother. Oh, he's heading out there. But in that visitor pack, there's a couple of things. One will be a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We hope it encourages and uplifts you. And there's a card that says guest. If you just take a moment and fill that out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop that in. And it gives Pastor an opportunity to call you, find out how you enjoyed the service. But also, if you're visiting for the first time, please just hang around for a few minutes in the lobby and meet Pastor Steve and I. We'd love to meet you in the lobby after the service. I just want to remind you, there's four ways to watch us. You can watch on our website, ascendchurch.us. You can watch on our mobile app. You can watch on YouTube, it's Ascend Church Jupiter, or you could watch live on Facebook, and that remains there so you can go back and watch it. And go ahead and share us if you'd like to. There are many people that are reached through social media more than ever before. And so, you know, there are your friends, some of your friends that maybe would never come to church with you or because of location or whatever reason, but perhaps when you share, it gives them a chance to receive from the Lord right where they are. So thank you for doing that. And those that are watching, comment where you're watching from. We so enjoy interacting with you. Send in a prayer request if you have one. And thank you for giving online. There's an easy way to give. There's a link on Facebook. There's just a button on all the other platforms that says give. You just click on it and it's a real simple take you right through it. So thank you for those that are giving online. It's changed from back in the day, right? You used to just talk to people who were in front of you, but now you're talking to so many more than those that are just there. Just to mention that we do have a Spanish translation of the service going on right now. So if you're in the service and you would rather listen in Spanish, you can just wave your hand and the usher will give you the instructions. Just takes a smartphone and some earphones. And those are also available on our website and on our app. When you watch it, you can choose English or Spanish, which is such a blessing. And there's just real simple instructions. Thank you. And I want to just tell you the four main purposes of our church. First is that you would know God. The second is that you would find freedom. Thirdly, discover your purpose. And lastly, that you'd make a difference with your life. Amen. We're ready for church this morning. Welcome our world famous Mike Francis. Mike would never tell you the things that I would tell you. He is an incredible evangelist that has done. He's gonna put some books together of the posters. You said you've got posters from your 44. How many crusades in India? 44 in India, 400 around the world. He's got mass crusades and he's got these posters. And he said he's going to put them into a book, into a few books: Africa, India, South America, all the different regions, right? So we want to see those. But you wanted to say a few words.
Is everybody happy today? All three of them are, Steve. You got some work to do. How many of you were not here last week? Where were you? We waited for you. We held up the service. No, we didn't do that, but it's great that you're here. You know, last week I asked Pastor Steve, you know, because today is Pastor's Appreciation Day. And last week I asked Steve if I could share a few words. And he said, Mike, on two conditions. Number one, you cut your hair. Number two, you can't wear sweatpants. So I want you to know I grew my hair out for a year and I cut it last week just so I could share. And I don't have sweatpants on today, but next week might be a different story. But it's Pastor Appreciation Day, and I won't repeat the things I said last week, but I asked Steve if I could share, you know, staying with them in their home, I've seen them on a different, you know, we've known each other for 20 years. You must be getting old, man. But we've known each other for a long time, but staying with them in their home, seeing the way they operate their lives. You know, in Thessalonians, it says, know those who labor among you. And I've come to know them on a different level. You know, we've vacationed before, and I've spoke at this church here several times before, and we've seen different parts of the world together, but I've known them on a whole different level. And you don't know them in the way I do, but, you know, staying with them, this couple right here is a couple of prayer. I get up at 6 in the morning. Well, I'm sorry, I go to bed about 6 in the morning, but I know I've gone downstairs and heard Jill praying in the front room, speaking in the spirit, speaking, praying over you guys. I know the heart that they, and the love that they have for you, the compassion they have for you, the phone calls that they get. It says, know those who labor. I know them, and I'm sharing with you because you don't know them in the way that I do. And so, you know, T.L. Osborne always said this. I loved it. He said, run with us. We'll do you good. Run with this guy. You know, Jesus said, when you're fully taught, you're going to be like your teachers. So be careful who are your heroes in life. Be careful who you're listening to. Be careful who's pouring into your heart and into your spirit. Because the Lord says, the Bible says, when you are fully taught, you will be like your teacher. And I can tell you right now, this is a couple that lives what they talk. They don't just preach about faith, they live faith. They never close the doors of this church, one of the few in this whole area. Know those who labor among you. I'm firsthand witness. You know, on Monday, they take the day off sometimes. They didn't this Monday because they were visiting church people and different things. But Mondays, they kind of take part of that day off. But Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I know that I'm not going to see Steve. Thank you, Jesus. Because he buries himself in his office, and I hear him praying for you. I watch him. I hear him seeking God for a message for you. He doesn't just pull something off the top of his head. I know a lot of preachers, they prepare their message during worship service that day. Steve, all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday, almost all day Thursday, and good part of the Friday, and sometimes on Saturday. He's preparing, he's seeking God to deliver unto you. And today, as pastors appreciate, you know, the book of James says, to those that know to do good and do not, to them it is sin. Today, as pastors, everybody's got one of these envelopes in your chair. Hold up your envelope right now. Hold up. This is Pastor Appreciation Day. Let me see. Who doesn't have an envelope? If you don't have one, get one. Today is Pastor Appreciation Day. And we can show our appreciation. It's great to say, great sermon, Pastor Steve. You know, great you know, message on the offering, Pastor Jill. That's great. But we can do something in a tangible way. We can do something today just special. It has nothing to do with tithes and offerings. This has everything to do with you just sharing something special, something beyond. So today is Pastor Appreciation Day. I want you to do something. Well, in these next few months, put something in this envelope to bless them financially. I'm going to bless them financially. Say, you know what? We appreciate you in a tangible way. Not just saying, I love you, and a pat on the back and a hug on the neck. But you can do something special. Maybe you've got something special. And ladies, listen, I know you. I know you've got a secret place in your purse that your husband don't know about, but God does. What a great place to give that today in Pastor Appreciation Day. And you husbands, your wife already knows your secret places, so go ahead and get it out anyways, or she's going to take it. No, I'm just saying, today is Pastor Appreciation Day, and you can do something special for Pastor Steve and Jill. How many of you want to do something like that today? Let me see your hands. Do something special. A special check, a special offering on the credit card. This is for them. It has nothing to do with tithes and offerings. This is saying, Pastor, we love you. And you say, oh, well, God hasn't spoken to me anything. 2 Corinthians 9, chapter 9 says this. As a man, as a woman, purposes in their heart, so let them give. You don't have to hear a voice. You can purpose in your heart to do good because that is only right before God. So stand and let's offer our pastors on Pastor Appreciation Day. Thank Pastor you. Steve, Pastor Jill,
thank
I honor your friendship, I honor your gift, I honor you this day.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you,
my friends.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you for doing that, Mike. I appreciate it. As Mike said, I've known Mike for over 20 years, but really come to love him, really close. Stayed with us since January. What a precious brother in the Lord. God has used him. If you knew the things that God has done through Mike Francine, he was in college playing basketball, and he gave his, and he received Jesus. Someone shared the gospel and he received the Lord. And 6 weeks later, he quit college and started preaching. And somebody gave him a book by T.L. Osborne. And he looked and he saw the pictures of these crusades around the world with these huge crowds. And he said, I want to do that. And 2 years later, he had his first crusade. And he's had over 400 crusades. 13 million people have received Jesus in his crusade. 13 million people. He's written 29 books. He's given away 3 million books. Built 600 churches. I stand here all day and tell you what Mike Francine has done. And I'm just thrilled to be friends. And I believe the best is yet to come. I believe it ain't over yet. I believe. We're doing a crusade together, Mike, next April in Nicker. How do you say it? Nicker? What? I struggle with that word. Nicaragua. 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 That's where we're going in April. We're going to have a crusade there. The president of the country has invited Mike to come and do the crusade. So praise God. Thank you for doing that, Mike. My wife and I just celebrated our 38th anniversary on Thursday. On Thursday. 38 years. And you deserve all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. Jill says, 38 more years, I'll be 94. I'm going to look just the same at 94. Father, we thank you that you are good, Lord. We thank you that you are faithful, Lord. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, how welcome you are in this place. Have your way, Lord. Thank you for anointing your word today, touching every life in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Tell someone, I'm glad you're here today. You're looking good. You're looking good today. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. It's good to see you today. You're supposed to say it's good to see you too. But we're going to have a good time here. Are you ready for God's word this morning? I tell you what, we are excited. I'm excited because on November the 15th, we will be going on to Fox 29 on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m. starting November 15th. You know why I'm excited about that? Because I want to reach more people for the Lord. I want to reach more people for Jesus. How many of you agree? How many of you believe there's other people out there that would like to know what's going on inside here? How many of you know that there are hundreds, in fact, thousands of people out there that God wants in this church to learn what you're going to be hearing today? Amen? So you should be excited about us going on television, not for the sake of it, but because we're going to reach so many. Our influence is going to be so much greater once we have people watching us on Fox 29. And we got an amazing deal. I can't tell you, but we got 80% discount on the normal, on what they would normally charge, 80% less. So praise the Lord. Are you ready for God's word today? I want to speak today about I need a ghost. Say, I need a ghost. And that may sound like a strange title to you, but we sang the song today. I love this song by Brandon Lakes. I need a ghost. I need a Holy Ghost. Awaken in my soul. I need a love that glows. Rattle in my bones till the evidence shows. I need a Holy Ghost. Awaken in my soul, and if I need a heart on fire that'll never grow tired wherever I go. I need a holy, holy ghost. I need a ghost. I need a holy, holy ghost. I need a ghost. Let me tell you, you may not realize it, but you need a Holy Ghost too. You need the Holy Ghost in your life. I received Jesus into my life when I was 15 years old, back in 1979 in Johannesburg, South Africa, at Christian Family Church. Pastor Theo and Beverly Womerantz. It's a Pentecostal charismatic church that believes in the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Gifts like speaking in tongues and prophecy, the gifts of healings and miracles. And we would see the power of the Holy Spirit every Sunday at church. We would see people healed supernaturally by the power of the Holy Spirit as Pastor Theo would lay hands upon people. We'd see them healed. We would see people line up around the block waiting to get in the service on Sunday night. There would be a line that would go out the door and all the way around the city block. We were meeting in the biggest theater at that time, and people would be healed. We saw it every Sunday. In those days, we used the King James Bible because this was before the New King James Bible. That was only published in 1982. And the King James Bible uses the term Holy Ghost. Like John 14, verse 26, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you." Jesus said, "I'm sending, the Father's going to send the Holy Ghost." Most modern translations say Holy Spirit. So same thing. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, Spirit of God, Comforter, the Helper. It's all speaking about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus spoke a lot about the Holy Ghost. He spoke a lot about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 16, verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." This is the truth. The word of God is the truth. "It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Jesus said it's to your advantage that I'm going away. In fact, the contemporary English version says it like this. It says, "I'm going to do what is best for you. That is why I'm going away. The Holy Spirit cannot come to help you until I leave. But after I'm gone, I will send the Spirit, the Ghost, to you." Jesus said it's to our advantage. Now, how many of you know that if something is to our advantage, that means it's better? Right? Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. And then he's going to be raised to life to redeem us. And then he's going to return back to the Father and be seated at the Father's right hand. And he's preparing his disciples for his departure. And he tells them, "Don't be afraid, don't worry, because I'm going to send someone who's going to comfort you, who's going to counsel you, who's going to teach you, who's going to guide you, who's going to strengthen you, who's going to empower you, who's going to help you. Who's he going to send? He's going to send the Holy Ghost. That's who he's going to send." And he said, "It's better. It's best for you. It's to your advantage that I go so that the Holy Ghost can come." Why is it best for us that Jesus leave? Because when Jesus lived on the earth, he was limited by a human body. He lived in a human body, and that meant he could only be in one place at one time. If Jesus was still on the earth today, you wouldn't be able to talk to him. You wouldn't be able to see him because everybody wants to see him. But the Holy Spirit has come to fill each and every one of us, to be with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, each and every one of us. We can all have a relationship with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Ghost. Say, "I need the Holy Ghost." And the good news is you have access to him. I don't just want to know the Holy Ghost for myself. I want you to know him too. Amen. Some people are missing out on this wonderful gift, friend, helper, because of something weird they saw or something somebody told them. I invite you to taste and see that the Lord is good. Yes, I need a ghost. I need the Holy Ghost. Because when you have the Holy Ghost, you have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You have strength, you have comfort, you have direction, you have wisdom, you have peace, you have joy, you have love, you have power. Say, "I need a ghost." After Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to the disciples over a 40-day period. And he said to them in Acts 1 verse 4, Jesus instructed them, he said, "Don't leave Jerusalem,
But wait here until you receive the gift I told you about, the gift the Father has promised. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days from now, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. John baptized you with water, but Jesus is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. But I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be filled with power, and you will be my messengers to Jerusalem, throughout Judea, the distant provinces, even the remotest parts of the earth. I promise you this, when the Holy Spirit fills you and comes upon you, you will be filled with power. Jesus told them, wait for the Holy Spirit. Don't go anywhere. Don't start ministering. Don't start preaching until you have received the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost before you attempt to do anything. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Natalie. You see, Jesus knew they would receive power. He knew they needed the Holy Ghost. And so do we. So do you. John 14, verse 16, Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth and the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. The New Living Bible says he lives with you now. And later he will be in you. Jesus said, you know the Holy Spirit because he's been with you. How has he been with you? Because the Holy Spirit was on Jesus. The Holy Spirit was with Jesus. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's been with you, but he's going to be in you. Amen? You see, the Holy Spirit anointed Jesus to do miracles. The reason that we can do miracles like Jesus did, we can do the works Jesus did, is because he sent the same Holy Spirit to fill us with power, just like he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, all the miracles that Jesus did, he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Acts 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus was anointed with the power of the Holy Ghost when he was baptized by John. And all the miracles that Jesus did were by the power of the Holy Ghost. Because when Jesus came to the earth, he laid aside his own godly power. The scripture says in Philippians 2 verse 5, your attitude should be the kind that was shown to us by Jesus Christ. It says, although he was God, Jesus was God, God in the flesh, the second person in the Godhead, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God, but he laid aside his mighty power and glory, and he took the disguise of a slave and became like men, like a man. See, Jesus was God incarnate. He's the Son of God, the second person of the Godhead, but when he came to the earth, he laid aside his godly power to become a man. And he was dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit which he was anointed with at his baptism. That's why we don't see any miracles in Jesus' life until he was baptized and anointed with the Holy Spirit at the age of 30. Then his ministry begins. You see, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you're filled with power so that you can do the supernatural things that Jesus did when he was on the earth. He said that in John 14, verse 12, the person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. Jesus said, those who believe in me are going to do the same mighty miracles, the same works that I do, because I go to be with my Father. Now, what is Jesus going to be with the Father got to do with us doing the works that he did? Because he sent the Holy Spirit to anoint us and empower us to do the things that he did. Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus did many miracles when he was on the earth. He healed sick people. He opened blind eyes. He opened deaf ears. He healed people from leprosy. He healed paralyzed people. He raised the dead. He set people free from demons. Amen. And that we can do the mighty miracles like Jesus did, because he went to go be with the Father, because he sent the Holy Ghost. The same Holy Ghost who anointed Jesus has come now to empower us. Say, I need a ghost.
Thank you, Natalie. I need a ghost. The Holy Spirit will help you and empower you. Also, He'll help you with everyday things that you have to do. See, some people think the power of the Holy Ghost is just for miracles, for healing, and for setting people free. And it is. But the Holy Ghost will empower you with everyday things, like in your job. Like in your job, He'll give you wisdom. Like Tom Cartwright sitting at his house, and he gets an idea to make a fan blade that looks like a palm leaf. He's just sitting there, he gets this idea. The Holy Ghost gives him an idea to make a fan blade, and then gives him the wisdom and guides him to the right people. To this idea becomes the biggest selling fan blade in the history of the fan blade industry. It was an idea from the Holy Ghost that came while Tom was sitting on his porch talking to the Lord. Amen. You see, the Holy Ghost will help you in your job, in your life. Amen. He'll empower you. In Acts chapter 2, we see where the Holy Ghost came to the earth. In verse 1, it says, on the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place. And suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house out of the heavenly realm. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anybody could bear. And it says, then all at once a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. They were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages that they'd never learned before. They spoke out in a heavenly language, not a language they knew. They were empowered. They received power when the Holy Spirit came upon them. Tongues of fire. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Amen. Amen. Now, they were filled with power. Not only did they start speaking out in this supernatural language, they were filled with power. These men who were fishermen, everyday common people, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they started doing extraordinary things. They began to go out and heal the sick. They began to cast out devils. They started to preach the gospel to the world. They turned cities upside down by the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Peter who denied the Lord 3 times and said, I never knew him. After he's filled with the Holy Spirit, he starts boldly preaching on the streets of Jerusalem, and 3,000 people receive Jesus and are saved. 3,000 people. The next chapter, Acts chapter 3, Peter and John heal a paralyzed man at the Gate Beautiful. What made the difference? The power of the Holy Spirit. That's what made the difference. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You need to face the future in the power of the Holy Spirit. The church has denied the power of God. The church has denied the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll be hard-pressed to find a church in this city that preaches on the Holy Ghost. You'll be hard-pressed to find a church that preaches about the Holy Ghost in this city. I didn't say there isn't one. I said they're hard to find. And listen, religion tells us the supernatural is not for today. Miracles, signs, wonders, speaking in tongues, casting out demons. Oh, that's not for us today. That all passed away. Let me tell you, the church has been robbed of the power of the Holy Spirit. If you want the power of the Holy Ghost, you got to talk about Him. You got to preach about Him. You got to welcome Him. You got to honor Him. You got to reverence Him. You can't be embarrassed about, we don't want to speak about speaking in tongues. They're going to think we're weird. I got news for you. They already think you weird. They already think you weird. The moment you stepped in this door, you were branded. You're a weirdo. You might as well just go whole hog and get filled with the Holy Ghost and just go all out, man. Forget about what people think about you. The result is today we got people go to church, sit on their pews like mummies, listen to sermons telling them God doesn't do this and God doesn't do that. So there's no supernatural happening. But we are not going that way. I want you to know at Ascend Church, we're going to face the future in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are not afraid of the future. Amen. Amen. It's one thing to be born again, born of the Spirit. It's another thing to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. and have the get the full power of the Holy Spirit in your life. A lot of people have skipped over Acts chapter 2, but they want what's in Acts chapter 3. They want signs, wonders, and miracles. You know, in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John healed the lame man that was at the temple, but they were first filled with the power of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2, and they began to speak in other tongues, and then they went out in the power of the Holy Ghost and did miracles. That's why the Apostle Paul, he himself said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, "My speech, my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." The New Living Bible says, "I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit." Paul said, "I relied on the power of the Holy Spirit." And the Contemporary English Version says, "I simply let God's Spirit show His power." Holy Spirit, show your power today. The Holy Spirit wants to demonstrate His power today. The power of the Holy Spirit is still for us today. Unfortunately, many people deny the Holy Spirit. They don't talk about speaking in tongues because they don't want to offend people. They don't want to be persecuted. Because when you proclaim the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be persecuted. Even hated. People will hate you about it. When God sent Peter to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, man, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They started speaking in tongues. In Acts 10, verse 44, even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. And the Jewish believers who came with Peter, they were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. It says, "For they heard them speaking with tongues and praising God." See, and being filled with the Holy Spirit was so important to them in the early church. It was the first question that Paul would ask new believers. In Acts 19, it says, Paul traveled on through the regions of Turkey until he arrived in Ephesus, where he found a group of 12 followers of Jesus. The first thing that he asked them, "What church do you go to? What denomination are you part of?" What's the first thing he asked them? "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" "No," they replied. "We haven't even heard of a Holy Spirit." Do you know that you can be a believer and never have been heard about the Holy Spirit? And when Paul laid his hands on them, it says, when Paul laid his hands on each of the 12, the Holy Spirit manifested and immediately they spoke in tongues and began to prophesy. First thing Paul asked them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" Paul knew how important it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So did Peter and John. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8, Philip traveled to a Samaritan city and preached to them the wonderful news of the Anointed One. And the crowds were eager to receive Philip's message, and they were persuaded by the many miracles and wonders that he performed. And it says, many demon-possessed people were set free and delivered as evil spirits came out of them with loud screams and shrieks. And many who were lame and paralyzed were also healed. And it says in verse 14, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John down there. And as soon as they arrived, they prayed for the new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. What's the first thing they do? They pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means you can be a believer, you can be baptized, and not yet have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Then as Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, they received the Holy Spirit. They received the Holy Spirit as they laid their hands upon them. Now, these people were believers. They've been baptized in the name of Jesus, but they had not yet been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. First thing the apostles do, send Peter and John now down there, get them baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Why did Paul and the early apostles, the early church, why did they place such an importance on the Holy Spirit? The reason that they place such an importance upon the Holy Spirit is because Jesus placed such an importance on the Holy Spirit. They got it from Him. And because once you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you never be the same again, and you want everybody to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why being filled with the Holy Spirit is a subsequent experience to receiving Jesus in your life and being saved. It's a subsequent experience. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the Bible says, Peter replied, "Repent and return to God. Each one of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus, the Anointed One, to have your sins removed. Then you may take hold of the gift of the Holy Spirit. First, receive Jesus, get baptized, then you can take hold of the gift of the Holy Spirit. For God's promise of the Holy Spirit is for you. Say, the Holy Spirit is for me. Holy Ghost is for me. For you and your families, for those yet to be born, and for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. The reason I know it's for you is because if you know Jesus, if you're saved, God called you. You couldn't receive him unless he drew you. So the promise of the Holy Spirit is for you. Amen? Just like salvation and water baptism is for everybody, so being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues is for everybody. Every believer should pray in tongues. If you haven't experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Today is your day. Today is your day. Let me tell you, we need the power of the Holy Ghost right now. In the times that we find ourselves, we need the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, when I feel like giving up, when I got no more power, I sense the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, family, rising up. I need a ghost. I need the Holy Ghost. I'm grateful in difficult times. The Holy Spirit brings me power. He brings me strength. He brings me joy. He brings peace to my life. He encourages me to keep on moving forward. You need a ghost. Do you know the Holy Ghost? Who is the Holy Ghost? The thing you need to know, he's a person. He is a person. When speaking about the Holy Ghost, Jesus spoke about him. He spoke about he. He's the third person of the Trinity. See, there are three persons in the Trinity, the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We see this when Jesus was baptized. In Matthew chapter 3, it says, "And as Jesus rose up out of the water, the heavenly realm opened up over him, and he saw the Holy Spirit descend out of the heavens and rest upon him in the form of a dove, and then suddenly the voice of the Father." Can you see in these two verses, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in these three verses? The Father shouted from the sky, "This is the Son I love, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Even back in Genesis, you can see the Holy Spirit in creation. In Genesis 1:26, it says, "Then God said, let us," say us, "make humans in our," say our, "image so that they can be like us." Now, how many of you know that us and our is plural? Why did God say let us instead of let me? Let us make man in our image, because he's talking about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You see, the Hebrew word for God is the word Elohim. That's the Hebrew word, Elohim. And it's a plural word. It's actually translated as gods, because God is three persons, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Genesis 1 verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." And then it says, "And God said, let there be light." You see, Jesus said, "Let there be light." And the Holy Spirit came to bring to pass what Jesus said. Jesus, here's the word. He spoke the world into existence. The Holy Spirit was the power that brought God's word to pass. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no creation. Without the Holy Spirit, no universe. Without the Holy Spirit, no human race, because when God created Adam, he breathed into him the breath of life. Without the Holy Ghost, there's no virgin birth. Did you know that? Matthew 1 verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Without the Holy Ghost, there's no virgin birth. Without the Holy Ghost, there's no resurrection. Romans 8 verse 11, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you." Without the Holy Ghost, there's no resurrection. Without the Holy Ghost, there's no power to effectively communicate the gospel. In Acts 1 verse 8, "You shall receive
power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses for me. Let me tell you, without the Holy Ghost, there's no miracles in the life of Jesus, because Acts 10 verse 38 says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. Without the Holy Ghost, there's no miracles in Jesus' life. Without the Holy Ghost, there's no Bible. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit. Every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. It will empower you by its instruction and correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you into deeper into the path of godliness. Let me tell you, the more that you read the Word of God, the more you'll have direction for your life to take the right path. God's Word's got all the answers. They talk about fake news. Let me tell you, fake news. Anything that disagrees with the Word of God is fake news. Or fake information, if you prefer it that way. Anything that disagrees with what God says is fake. Well, my church told me. I don't give a hoot what they told you. If it disagrees with the Bible, it's fake. Everything I've told you today, I've given you scripture and verse for everything I've said. See, we would have no way to have faith in God without the Holy Spirit. He's the one who wrote the Bible. He's the one who draws us to the Lord, convicts us. Amen. What else does the Holy Spirit do in our life? John chapter 16, verse 7, it says in the Amplified Bible, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, it is good, it is expedient, it is advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Strengthener, the Standby will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's the Comforter. He's the Counselor. He's the Advocate. He's the Intercessor. He's the Strengthener. He's the Standby. He's the Encourager. He's the Teacher. He's the Guide. He's the Friend. He is my Helper in life. The Holy Ghost is your Helper in life. In fact, the Greek word is the word Parakletos, and it means one called alongside to help. The Holy Spirit has been called alongside to help you in your life. The Holy Ghost has come to empower you. He's come to guide you. He's come to teach you, to comfort you, to strengthen you. The Holy Spirit has come to help us pray. I tell you what, I need the Holy Ghost. I'm so thankful that the Holy Ghost helps me to pray. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, He enables you to pray in a supernatural way. It's called praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, it says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays. See, when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit is praying by the help of the Holy Spirit, but my mind is unproductive. I don't understand what I'm saying. In fact, the New Living Bible says, if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. When I pray, I've been speaking and praying in tongues since I was 16 years old, and now I'm 56, 40 years. I do not understand what I've been praying for the last 40 years. I'm not supposed to. I'm speaking mysteries and secrets unto God. See, when you pray in tongues, your spirit prays, not your mind. You don't understand what you're saying. It's a spiritual language that comes forth out of your spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, it says, when someone speaks in tongues, no one understands a word he says, because he's not speaking to people. He's speaking to God. He's speaking intimate mysteries in the spirit. Say, when I speak in tongues, I'm speaking directly to God. You may not understand what you're saying, family, but you're speaking mysteries to God. In fact, when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit helps you to pray God's will for your life. I said, when you pray in tongues, the Holy Ghost helps you to pray the will of God for your life. Paul the Apostle understood the power of praying like this. Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18, I thank God I speak in tongues more than any of you. He spoke a lot in tongues. He said in verse 5, 1 Corinthians 14, 5, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. Let me tell you, God wants every one of you to speak in tongues. Why do you need to pray in the Holy Ghost? Why do you need to pray in the Holy Ghost? Number one, I'm going to tell you three things. Number one, when you pray in tongues in the Holy Ghost, you pray God's will for your life, even when you don't know what it is. That's powerful.
Romans 8 verse 26 says this, the Holy Spirit helps in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. I often don't always know what God wants me to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. When I pray in tongues in the Spirit, I can be assured that I'm praying in harmony with God's will for my life. And verse 28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. In other words, when you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, you don't know what you're praying, but you are praying by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, and you're praying according to the will of God. And when you pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit causes everything to work together for your good. Amen. In fact, the Passion Bible says it like this: the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times we don't even know how to pray or know the best things to ask for, but the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words. And it says, God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings, yet He also understands the desires of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us, His holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. Oh man, I'm telling you right now, if you got no reason to pray in the Spirit, just that, since I was 16 years old, I remember I used to have LPs. Remember LPs? Some people don't even remember cassette tapes. This is before cassette tapes, LPs. I had an LP player, and I got all these worship and Phil Driscoll, and I love Phil Driscoll, and I'd put on my Christian work. I threw out all my AC/DC, Highway to Hell. I threw them all out, and I got new ones. And I put on my worship, and I'd get down in our den. I was 16, living at home in the den. I closed the door. I put my music on. I lay down on the floor. I'd lay flat out on the floor, and I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, as I prayed from 16 years of old, I was praying God's destiny for my life. I was praying God's plan for my life. It's part of the reason I'm standing before you right now. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you pray God's will, God's destiny, God's plan. It says, verse 28, so we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives, for we are His lovers who have been called to fulfill His design purpose. Can you say amen, somebody? One of the things I'm most thankful for in my life is praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. It's my go-to. It's my go-to, man. When I'm facing situations, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to pray. I pray in the Holy Ghost. I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. I mean, I pray in the Holy Ghost when things are going good, and I pray in the Holy Ghost when things are going good. I mean, all the time. The Holy Spirit has come to help us to pray the will of God when you don't know what to pray. Because you're not praying with your own wisdom. You're praying with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Even though you don't know what you're saying, you're praying God's will. That's what allows God to work on your behalf. Bring everything in my life into line with His plan. When you pray in tongues, you can expect all things to work together for your good. Because God can arrange your future. God can arrange for you to meet the right people. He arranges the right people to come across your path as you pray in the Holy Spirit. He orchestrates things for you. And when you face a problem and you don't know the solution, you can just say, Holy Spirit, I'm facing this problem. I don't know where to pray. I commit my life to you. Help me to pray the will of God so I make the right decision. Order my footsteps. Direct my path, Lord. Help me to pray your will in the name of Jesus. See, the Holy Spirit has been sent for you and for me, and we need Him. We need to pray in the Spirit. In Ephesians 6, verse 18, it says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Amen. I was so thrilled to hear that my daughter Nadine told me that her friend Diane came to our church, about two years ago, came to our church, and first time I met her, I said, is there anything I can pray for you? And she said, well, please pray. I've had 11 miscarriages in a row, and we want to have a baby. And I prayed for her, and that was December. April, she was pregnant. She now has a little girl, totally healthy, about how old is it? 7 months old little girl. and there's a miracle baby. And Diane said to Nadine yesterday, she said, I was standing in my kitchen and I received my prayer language. I started praying in the Holy Ghost, standing in my kitchen. Let me tell you can be filled with the Holy Spirit wherever you are right now. All you got to do is say, Holy Spirit, I desire you. I want you. Come and fill me, Holy Spirit. You just desire him and ask him and he will fill you. The second reason why you need to pray in the Holy Ghost and you need to pray in tongues is because when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you are fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit and you become sensitive to His voice and you become sensitive to His guidance. How many of you know the more you spend time with someone, the more you know them? Well, the more you spend time with the Holy Ghost, the more you get to know Him. You begin to recognize His impulses, His leading, His guiding. 2 Corinthians Chapter 13, verse 14 says, may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And the Message Bible says, may the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Do you know the Holy Spirit has been sent to be your friend? Now, how many of you know you can't really have a friendship with someone that you never spend any time with them? You can't say, oh, you know, Barry's my good friend. We're good friends. When's the last time you saw him? I don't know, man. When's the last time you had dinner? Oh, it's got to be about 10 years, right? Oh, he's your good friend, is he? Let me tell you, if the Holy Ghost wants to be your friend, you've got to spend time with him. Spend time talking to him. One of the best ways of fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit is praying in the Holy Ghost. You need to spend time with the Holy Spirit. Hang out with him. Talk to him. Listen to him. When I pray in the Spirit, I know I'm not speaking to man. I'm speaking directly, and I'm fellowshipping with God. I'm fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. When I pray in the Spirit, I feel such a peace comes over me. Just a peace comes over me. Just a calmness comes over me. If I'm feeling all agitated and all hyped up and all, you know, excited about something, some problem or whatever, I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. It's like the peace of God comes over me. Calmness comes over my mind. I have this rest that comes upon me. Amen. Amen. When I pray in the Spirit, not only am I praying God's perfect will for my life, for my destiny, but I'm fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. And it makes me sensitive to hear His voice and receive wisdom, receive guidance, direction from Him. One of the greatest assets in my life has been a relationship with the Holy Ghost. He's the one who guides me. Next week, I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit guides you. I'm going to talk about you need the Holy Ghost to guide you. The Holy Spirit helps me. He teaches me. He comforts me. He strengthens me. He empowers me. I'm up here today preaching to you because of the power of the Holy Ghost. Before I was filled with the Holy Spirit, you would have had to drag me up here with wild horses. I didn't like getting up in front of people. I was very shy. It's the power, it's the work of the Holy Spirit in my life that has given me this boldness that I can now go down on the beach like I did last, when was it? On Wednesday, we had a memorial service for Perry Stump. And Perry Stump came to our church about 5-6 weeks ago with her boyfriend, Matthew, and she loved the Lord. Matthew raised his hand to receive Jesus, and Tom actually counseled him. And Perry, just a few weeks later, she was an avid surfer. She drowned right here in Juneau Beach. And they had a memorial service, and Andrea and Bob asked me if I would come and speak. And I got to the beach, and there were like 75 people out there on the beach. And I just got up and preached the gospel. And said, I want everyone. I said, how many of you know Jesus? And about half the people put their hand up. I said, okay, I want to ask everyone, please will you say this prayer to receive the Lord? And I had them all pray that prayer. Let me tell you, before I received the Holy Ghost, you would have never got me to do that. Are you kidding me? No way, Jose. But now I got this boldness on the inside of me. When I got the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. Amen? In fact, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit, when you got the Holy Spirit, you don't even have to worry what you're going to say. Jesus said in Mark chapter 13, Jesus said, when they put you under arrest and they hand you over for trial, don't even give one thought about what you'll say. Simply speak what the Holy Spirit gives you at the very moment and realize it won't be you speaking. It'll be the Holy Spirit speaking through you. Amen. So many times when I talk to people, I don't always know the right things to say, but as I step out in faith, the Holy Ghost rises up on the inside of me and He enhances my witness. He gives me the right things to say. You see, the purpose for the power of the Holy Spirit is for people so that we can be a more effective witness for Jesus. We need to develop a relationship
with the Holy Ghost. Spend time with Him. And then lastly, and I think I'm closing with this, the first reason why you need to pray in the Holy Spirit is why? Because you pray the will of God for your life. The second reason why you need to pray in the Holy Ghost is why? Because you fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And the third reason why is that you need to pray in the Holy Spirit is because you are supernaturally edified when you do. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, it says, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. Say, when I speak in tongues, I edify myself. The New Living Bible says a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. You are personally strengthened in the Lord. When you pray in tongues, you are supernaturally edified and strengthened. You are filled with peace. You are filled with joy. This is what I do. When I feel weak, when I feel discouraged, I don't know what to do. I pray in the Holy Spirit. I can't imagine living without praying in the Holy Ghost. It builds you up like nothing else on the world builds you up. In Jude verse 20, it says, you constantly and progressively build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith by praying every moment in the Spirit. Do you know when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you are being built up? In fact, the Amplified Bible says it like this. You build yourselves up on your most holy faith. You make progress. You rise like an edifice higher and higher praying in the Holy Spirit. Who edifies and encourages you and builds you up? You, the Holy Ghost does, but you determine how much edification you need. In other words, the more you pray in the Holy Ghost, the more edified you're going to be. Greek scholars tell us there's a word that's closer in meaning to the word edify, and it's the word charge. Just like you charge a battery, you can supernaturally charge your spirit by praying in the Spirit. And every day we need to be recharged in our spirit. You are charged with the power of the Holy Ghost when you pray in tongues. The anointing and the presence of God comes upon you, rises up within you. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4 from the Living Bible, it says a person speaking in tongues helps himself grow spiritually. It says in the Passion Bible, the one who speaks in tongues advances his own spiritual progress. Let me tell you, every believer can speak in tongues to God. I cannot overestimate the value and the benefit of praying in the Spirit. Is it possible maybe that you're losing some battles because you're not putting on the whole armor of God, because you're not building yourself up spiritually, because you're not allowing the Holy Ghost to pray the will of God to be done in your life? Let me tell you, this is the doorway to the supernatural. You'll never enter the supernatural realm without praying in tongues. When I was 16 years old, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I started speaking in tongues. Changed my life. I thank God for the Holy Spirit, and I thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit. As I close, I want to tell you how to receive the Holy Spirit. If you're watching this, how to receive the Holy Spirit. Number one, you've got to understand that the Holy Spirit is a free gift from God, and there's nothing you can do to work for Him, to earn Him, or to deserve Him. He's a free gift. In Acts 2, verse 38, we read it earlier, Peter said, each one of you must turn from sin, return to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. Then you shall also receive the gift, the Holy Spirit. Secondly, you must know the Holy Spirit is not just for some special people, but for it's God's promise for all believers. I can't tell you how many people I've heard, even preachers. Oh, I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe in praying in tongues. You know, that if God wants to give you that gift, no, it's for everybody. Acts 2, verse 39, God's promise of the Holy Spirit is for you. Say, the Holy Spirit is for me. Say, the Holy Spirit's promise to me. To you and your family, and for those yet to be born, everyone whom the Lord calls to Himself. Number three, you need to ask in faith, ask God for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and know that you will receive. Because Jesus said in Luke 11, verse 13, so you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Just ask Him, Father, I'm asking you to fill me with your Holy Spirit, like Diane standing in a kitchen, suddenly start speaking in tongues. Number four, speak out the new words or the strange sounds that come out of your spirit. It kind of feels like out of your belly. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water.
In Acts 2 verse 4, they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. You've got to open your mouth and speak those sounds, speak those words out of your mouth. The Spirit will prompt you, but they're the ones who did the speaking. The Holy Spirit will prompt you, but you have to open your mouth and you have to begin speaking. Number 5, don't let your mind get in the way. In 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 19, it says, don't suppress the Spirit and don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. See, you can suppress the Holy Spirit from speaking out that language if you let your mind get involved. You've got to kind of bypass your mind and just keep your heart open. Number 6, breathe in deeply as an act of faith to receive the Holy Spirit who is in our midst. I receive you now, Holy Spirit. And number 7, as you breathe out, trust the Holy Spirit who is inside you. Begin speaking out whatever sounds seem easy to make. And finally, number 8, don't stop speaking until there's a free flow of words. Now, when I was first filled with the Holy Spirit as a young person who was 16, and I was pretty shy in those days, and Pastor Theo prayed for me, I just had a couple of words. I didn't pray as confidently like I do now. I just had a couple of words. And he said to me, Steve, that's fine. That happened to me. Just keep on praying those couple of words. Just keep on praying. You'll see it's going to just grow. And I did. I prayed my couple of words. I can't remember what they were now, but I had my couple of words I prayed. And I was lying in my bed one night, about 16 years old, praying my couple of words. And all of a sudden, like you turned on the faucet, like you turned on the shower, this language came out of me. Kiarabasi kierebin dabu surabasi erebesi kataba sorabasi kitaba babande ben. I started praying like that, and I've been doing it ever since. And let me tell you right now, I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that He's with me. He's my friend. Jesus said, you need the Holy Ghost. It's better for you that I go. You need the Holy Ghost. If you haven't received Him today, you can. If you haven't received the Holy Ghost, today is your day. How many of you have been filled with the Spirit and you already pray and speak in other tongues? Wave your hand real high for me like this. Real high now. Wave it real high. A lot of people don't have their hands up. Today's your day. The Holy Ghost told me to preach about this for you. I want to pray for you right now. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, I want you to get up out of your chair right now, and I want you to come stand here up the front for me right now. I'm going to pray for you. Come real fast. Get out of your seat if you want. Come up. Stand right here right now. If you're watching me online, you want to be filled with the Spirit, today is your day. Today is your day. Just lift your hands to God. Lift your hands. Say, Lord, I receive your Holy Spirit. Thank you for filling me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit today, Father, in the name of Jesus. Help me, Jill. Come on, help me. Tom, Anna, Pam, and Jerry, please come help me. Pam, Jerry, come help me. Come help me pray. Come help Moises. Come help me pray. Come help me pray. Come on. Come on. Lift your hands. Everyone who's here for prayer, everyone at the front that's here for prayer, don't pray for them yet. Just hold on, Jill, 1 second. Everyone is at the front for prayer. Come now. If you're not in your chair, get out of your chair. Come and get up here, man. Come and get up here. Everyone coming for prayer, close your eyes and say this. In fact, church, let's all say it together. Say, Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, whom you have sent to be my helper, to empower me to live for you. Jesus, you said, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to all those who ask him? Say this, say, Father, I'm asking you today to fill me with your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I receive you, Holy Spirit, today. In Jesus' name, say thank you, Lord, for filling me today. I receive your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you enable me to speak out in that heavenly language. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't say another word in English, okay? People, help me pray. Lay hands on them. Begin praying. Church, if you pray in tongues, stop praying right now. Speak out that heavenly language right now. If you're at the front, start speaking those words out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on. Be filled in the name of Jesus. Receive. There you go. Don't speak English. Speak those words you don't understand. Be filled in the name of Jesus. Be filled in the name of Jesus. Come on. Be filled in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, pray. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, pray. Be filled in the name of Jesus. Receive.
Receive in the name of Jesus. There you go. Receive in the name of Jesus. There you go. Speak those words out. Come on, begin to speak it out. Filled in the name of Jesus. Oh, be filled in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, pray. Come on, church. Stand up with us and pray. Stand up with us and pray. Stretch your hand toward these people at the front. Begin to pray out in the Holy Ghost. Come on. Open your mouth and speak those words out. Speak it out. There you go. There you go. Lay your hands. There you go. There you go, Ashley. There you go, Ian. Come on. That's it. That's it, Aaron. Come on. There you go. That's it. Come on, church. Be bold. Be bold today. Come on, church. Come on, lift your voice. Lift your voices today. Pray out in the Holy Ghost today. Okay. Hallelujah. Look at me for a moment. Everybody, look at me for a moment. How many people you started speaking in tongues today? You spoke out words. You don't know what they were. Your mind might tell you, you made it up. No, you spoke out in tongues. How many of you started speaking in tongues today? Hold your hands up for me. Hold your hands up for me. Hold your hand up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now, let me tell you, every one of you, Paul, you were filled with the Holy Spirit today. You received today. I prayed for one lady one time. Her name was Zita. She was Italian. And this is when I was a young pastor. And I prayed for her to be filled with the Holy Spirit, just like I prayed for you. And she fell over by the power of God. She hit the ground, man. Bang. Like someone hit her with a baseball bat. She hit the ground. But she didn't speak in tongues. She just lay there like shaking like this. And I said to her, Zita, when you get home and you're by yourself, I want you to say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for filling me tonight. And I thank you that I can speak out in that heavenly language. I said to her, don't dare go out of here and say, I don't know why I didn't speak in tongues. Maybe it's not for me. That's a lie. I said, when you get home, say, thank you, Lord, that I can speak in tongues. She phoned me the next morning at 7 a.m. Now, you might have heard Mike say he hears Jill praying at 6 a.m. He never mentioned me. You're not going to hear me praying at 6 a.m. You hear me praying at about 10 a.m., 11 a.m. That's when you hear me praying. But she called me at 7 a.m. She said, Pastor Steve, sorry to call you so early, but I had to tell you that when I went home, I did what you said, and I started speaking in tongues, and I've been speaking in tongues all night long. I couldn't go to sleep. I've been praying all night long, praying in tongues. Now, I want to say to you, when you go home, Joshua, when you go home, say, thank you, Lord, that I was filled with the Holy Spirit today. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you enable me, you help me to speak out in that heavenly language and begin to say the sounds that come up out of your belly. It doesn't come out of your mind. It comes out of here. You got to open your mouth and begin to speak those sounds. And as you do, it'll just begin to flow. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Be seated for a moment. Be seated for a moment. Pastor Jill's coming forward. And we're going to give to the Lord today, right? Is that what you're going to do? Okay. Good idea. Yeah, praise the Lord.
That's exactly what happened to me when I got filled with the Spirit. A friend of mine had taken me to church, and I got saved. And then in her house, she said, you know what, there's something else you need. And she prayed for me to get filled with the Spirit. And I felt it felt good, but I didn't speak in tongues. I was really shy. And I went home, and laying in my bed, I started to pray in the Spirit.
Mm.
And I tell you what, even now, when you begin to talk about the Holy Ghost, I just sense there's a weight. There's a heavy weight that begins to settle in this place. There's something about allowing the Holy Spirit to move in your life that brings a weight of God upon your life that begins to be seen in your job, seen in your family, seen in the way you speak. There's something about opening up to what God has for you. And you know, the Bible says that we're a body, and it says that each one of us is a part of that body, and each one of us supplies the joint supplies. Each one of us supplies. And God, I feel like God is stirring us up as a body for each of our parts to start coming to fruition, that each one of us starts being really effective in the church. Not that we have a pastor that's effective, but that we, all of us, start to become effective. And that happens with the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Well, now's the time where we have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. And I always like to take a few minutes. I'm going to read 6 verses. Some of you think I take too long. Watch out. I'm only kidding. I just like to read a few verses because we give in accordance with what the Word says. Whatever we're doing is in accordance with the Word. So I'm going to read from Deuteronomy because 26 is a very good example of how the people were taught to tithe. It says in verse 1, it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall put it in a basket. You shall go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And there you shall go to the one who is priest in those days. And you shall say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And so we see a little pattern here. And I just want to say, those that are watching online, you can go ahead and give. For those of you that are here, there's various ways that you can give. There's envelopes right there that you can give online. You can give on our mobile app. It'll come up. Text giving, it's so simple. But in this passage in Deuteronomy, where Moses is giving them instruction, he says, this is what's going to happen. You're going to come into this land that God's given you, but this is what you need to do. First of all, he says, take the first fruits. That's the tithe. He says, right, you're going to put God first. You're going to, when God's blessing you, you're going to put God first. And he says, you're going to bring it to the Lord's house, where God chooses to make his name abound. You've got to take the first. You've got to bring it to the Lord's house. And then he says that when you go, you must recall the good things that God's done for you. He says, I want you, as you're coming, to bring that first fruits to the Lord. Think about where you've come from. Think about what God's done for you. Think about how you are alive and not dead. Think about how God has put something in your hand that you're able to give. Amen. And it says, and then they would say this, now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. And then you shall set it before the Lord your God, and you shall worship before the Lord your God. So you know what? It says you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and to your house and to the Levite and the stranger who is among you. So what I love about this is it tells you what to do, and it says the attitude with which you do it. It is worship. You say, Lord, so even now, this is a common thing we do in church. We receive an offering and we can do it thoughtlessly, or we can do it where we say we do it mindfully, thinking of what God has done and where he's brought us from, and we worship God with it. Amen. So right now, as we begin, as we're going to receive the offering, I want you to say this with me. Say, thank you, Father, for all the blessings in my life.
All the blessings in my life.
Thank you that I am able to tithe.
Thank you that I'm able to tithe.
Thank you that you have blessed me.
Thank you as you
that I have
me.
Food. That I have a roof over my head.
Have a roof over
that
my
I have
head.
My needs supplied.
My needs supplied.
Thank you for everything you've done
Thank
for me.
Thank you for everything.
Today I worship you.
Today I worship you.
I put you first.
I put you first.
And I thank you for your blessing on my life.
Thank you for your blessing on my
in
life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead and do that.
She would never ask me, and I'm not going to ask them because then they could say no. But for those of you that want to do something special for our pastors, take that envelope, and there's a card in there. You can just write a little note and slip something special in there for our pastors just to say we love you. It's Pastor Appreciation Day across this nation. So just write a little note in there. You can write a check to Ascend Church. And as the offering buckets come by, or if you need a few minutes, you can give it before you leave. But I just really want to encourage you to do something because I believe it's only right to do it.
Thank you, Mike. And also, we love the messages. And please, when you write a message, please put your name on it. Because sometimes I've read this message, and it's this wonderful message, and I've got no idea who wrote it because they didn't put their name on it. So you put a last card in. I wrote it. So put your name on there. One sec, Lou, I'll be right there with you. So, I want to thank everyone who gave. We so appreciate your generosity. Thank you so much. And I want to thank everyone who served here today, all of our volunteers. Why don't you give them a big round of applause, all of our volunteers. Praise God. Thank you, Louis. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I want to thank everyone who's given toward the television ministry. Thank you for your generosity. Amen. Praise God. Won't you stand up with me today? Everybody, just stand to your feet. Don't stop, band. The band did such a great job today, but I'm going to, not yet. Just stay mellow, because I'm going to give the altar call. Just close your eyes for a moment. Everybody, close your eyes. We never, ever close a service without giving people the opportunity to make sure that all is right between you and God. Listen, if you're not sure where you stand with the Lord today, if you were to die today, if you're not sure where you would spend eternity, let me tell you the good news is you can be sure. You can walk out of here today. You can know that all is right between you and God. You can know that every mistake and sin you ever committed is washed away and forgiven. And you can know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you will spend all eternity. Let me tell you, there's a heaven to gain. And there's a hell to shun. I want to pray right now. I'm not going to embarrass anyone, but if you say, Pastor Steve, please pray for me. I'm not sure where I stand with the Lord. I'm not sure what would happen to me if I died. Please pray for me. If that's you, please, won't you lift your hand right now? If you say, include me in your prayer, I want to make sure that all is right with me and God. I want to make sure when I die, heaven is where I'll spend all of eternity. If you want to be in this prayer, just lift your hand right now. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Are there any hands? Do you see anybody? I don't see anybody. Thank you, everyone. Listen, I want to encourage you. Please invite someone to come to church next week. Take some of those invite cards. I'm going to speak about how the Holy Spirit will guide you in your life, how He's guided me. It's one of the most important things anyone could ever hear. So next Sunday, we'll see you then. God bless you. We love you. Ben, take us out. Man, I need a ghost. I need a Holy Ghost.
I need a Holy Ghost.
I need a Holy Ghost.
Awaken in my soul. I need a love that glows rattling my bones. Still the evidence shows I need a Holy Ghost.